You're listening to the New Community Podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope that this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Some of you probably have kids and they're like, why do you even wear that thing on your wrist? And you're like, it's a watch to tell time. And they're like, what's your phone for, Mom? And so many people don't even wear a wristwatch because it's on your phone and they're like, the phone's glued to your hand. Some of us still wear a watch, but it's mainly just for accessory purposes. You just wear it to, you know, accessorize and stuff like that. But a watch, a phone, it's to help us tell time, right? Time, which if you think about it, it's kind of a strange thing. I mean, you can't see time. It's there, it's out there, it's behind us, it's before us. We use those metaphors. But time, we talk about it's running away. Time just got away from me. Time is running out. Time is ticking, right? And then if we're behind, like I'm trying to catch up, right? Time flies when you're having fun. And so we talk about it as if it's behind us, as if it's before us, as if it's in short supply, as if it's running out. Time. And then we talk about it, it's out there, and we couple time with future. And so I'm chasing after it. I'm moving forward. I'm navigating through life. And we say to kids when they're in middle school and high school, what do you want to be? What do you want to do when you grow up? And grow up isn't so much maturity. It's a time, spatial, out there, somewhere. And they're to have this picture. And then, strange, right? Time. The future, the past. And yet one of the most famous verses in Scripture that many of you probably have a bumper sticker, a t-shirt, or a coffee mug that it's on there, it deals with this idea of time. It deals with this idea of the future. Jeremiah 29:11 simply says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And we often claim that verse, and we should. We often declare that and write that when a student graduates high school, and it's appropriate. We often use that in this idea that God is going to bless me over abundantly, and he may, and he desires to. The context it was given, they weren't blessed and they couldn't see blessing coming. It was deep, dark, hard times. And when God spoke this to those people, the word future to them, it wasn't so much what you and I think of. So we live in the West, in America, and we see time as linear, right? So we speak of time like there's a timeline. So we're here. It's November 28th, 2018. Tomorrow, 29th, and the 30th, and December, and then 2019, and then 2020. And so we move to the right in a linear fashion, and time is out there, and you move to the left, and it's there, except we usually talk about time is back there behind us, and it's there in front of us. And so time is linear, it's on a timeline. Stick with me, we're going somewhere, we're coming back to the verse. In a Hebrew mindset, a Jewish time set, time wasn't linear, it was cyclical. That something happened and it spiraled upward. And so it was overlapping, it was connecting. Though it was decades, centuries, multiple centuries away, the Hebrew people saw themselves intricately connected with their past. We see it on a timeline, and I'm here, and it's way back there. Or even some of you that are in like Ancestry.com or whatever, and you're way down here, and you track up all the way, and they're way up there, and it seems so distant, removed. And yet, to a Hebrew, we're one. It was connected. The Hebrew word for past is synonymous with yesterday. And the word in Hebrew for yesterday literally means to be in front of you. Say that again. The Hebrew word for past is synonymous with yesterday, and the Hebrew word for yesterday literally means to be in front of you. Track with me. This isn't a typo. Now, on the flip side, the Hebrew word for future is synonymous with tomorrow. And the Hebrew word for tomorrow literally means to be behind you. So the future is back there, and the past is up there. Does that make sense? Anybody confused? Yeah, we're all confused, right? You're like, Gerald, what are you smoking? Nothing. But let me say it again just so you're tracking, and then I'll explain it. And so it makes sense, and then we'll bring it home. So to the Hebrew mindset, tomorrow and the future are synonymous, and that literally means back there. The future, or the past, and yesterday are synonymous, and it means up there. And in our mindset, it doesn't make sense, but picture it this way. I'm in a rowboat. The point of the boat is that way, right? I'm heading that way, but I'm looking behind me. I've got my oars, and so what am I doing? I'm backing into the future. Where's the future? It's behind me. Where's the past? It's in front of me. Make sense now? And so to a Hebrew, to a Jewish thinker, they weren't so much consumed about where am I going, because who can see the future? You can't see time. You can't grasp time. And those that try to grasp time, they just do that. They grasp after time. They grasp after stuff. But they could see the past, and they could see the faithfulness of God. And so as a person in a rowboat, they would fix their eyes on the last thing God did, and the thing God did before that, and the thing God did before that. And those anchors would fixate them to put them in a straight line backing into where they could not see themselves going. The alternative is what we say to our young people. What are you going to be when you grow up? And as if they're supposed to do that. And they usually, it's doing that because it has to do with how many dollars come behind the dollar sign, how many zeros, right? That's what I want to be. And so we end up being kind of like the boy that the old farmer hired to plow his field. And the farmer gave the boy the plow and hooked up the ox and set him on his way. And then he went back to the house and he came back about 20 minutes later. And the kid's row was just like this. The farmer stopped him and says, hey, son, come here, boy. You're all over the field. If you keep this up, number one, it's going to take you forever. Number two, you're wasting lots of precious soil that I could be harvesting. I'm going to have a hard time harvesting. I'm not going to have as much return. I know. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. And he says, here's what you need to do, son. I want you to look out to the other end of the field and find something. Fix your eyes on it. And as you're plowing, look at that object and it'll pull you in a straight line. Okay? He says, yes, sir. I'll do it. Farmer goes back to the house. A couple hours later, comes back, and the field is worse. And he's like, son, come here. I told you. I know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do that. But I told you, find something. Fix your eyes on an object and keep your eyes on it, and you'd have a straight row. Look at these. I know. I'm sorry. But that rabbit keeps moving. And that's how many people lead their life. And yet, in a biblical perspective, we weren't alone. We weren't abandoned. God was here. God was leading us. And we're backing in to the future. I can't see where I'm going, right? And it'd be in vain if I did. But I can see where I've been. And it's not just where I've been. It's where he's led me. It's where he's guided me. That's why the Psalms, particularly Psalm 77, 78, 79, all through the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about God led you. I led you through the desert. I led you through the wilderness. I brought you out of Egypt. I led you through the Red Sea. And he's reminding them, look behind you. I did that. What did you do there, and here? We just trusted and we followed. Well, you can't see the future. So lean on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But if you lean on your own understanding, you're going to be all over the place, and your paths will be crooked. And so to a Jewish perspective, I move forward by looking backwards, but it's not in a stuck, I'm stuck, like I can't get over the past. He dwells in the past. It's not that. There's a letting go, but there's seeing where God was in the past that guides one into the future, which is why God says over 450 times in Scripture, remember, 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 remember who he is. Remember what he's done. Remember, remember, remember how he led you through the wilderness. Remember how you were slaves in Egypt. Remember how your father was a wandering Aramean, which is a strange phrase to talk about Abraham. Remember, remember, remember. And as he has done through history, he will do through you because you are connected to God and all of his people. Remember, 450 times, God tells his people to remember. And he tells us to remember because he knows we're prone to forget. Older gentleman went to the doctor, and after they got through the checkup, he's like, Doc, I need to talk to you about something else I'm a little concerned about. I've noticed that I'm forgetting things. And the doc said, well, yeah, that happens when we get older, but tell me about that. And he's like, well, just last week, I went to the store, and I went to come home, and I couldn't remember what street I lived on. I was supposed to go play golf yesterday, and I completely forgot about the golf match. I went to church last week, and I got home and completely forgot that I went to church. And the doctor said, it's pretty serious. I know, doctor, I'm concerned. I can't remember one day to the next, even sometimes between breakfast and lunch. What should I do? And the doctor said, go ahead and pay me now. And we forget. And so God says, remember. And so we set this idea up last week. This series that we're in for the next couple weeks called Set the Stage. And throughout Scripture, God says, I want to set the stage so that you can see not only what has been played out, but what is to come. And so he gave them specific times throughout the year called appointed feast. It's the Hebrew word moed, moed, M-O-E-D. It just means an appointment, a meeting. You would use it in the terms even of a date between a romantic couple. It's a special date where you turn off the noise and step out of the traffic and just gaze at one another. You catch up. Your souls catch up to the speed of your life date. And so God says throughout the year, I want you to pull out of the traffic and just gaze at me. Let your soul catch up to your life, that you'll remember how I've been faithful in this season. And so they called these feasts, Mikra, M-I-Q-R-A would be the English rendering. It was just a feast. Seven throughout the year specifically, but the Sabbath came every 7 days, and so there's seven times a year you have the huge 8-day feast, if you will, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, but then there's weekly stops in the rhythm. Why? To look back, to breathe deep, to remember, so that you can back into where you're going. Remember. 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 It's a time where you set the stage to see what was, but what's to come. 2 Peter put it like this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And he's just told them about who Jesus is, Peter, 2 Peter. He's just told them his divine power is in you, and it's given you everything you need. The first passage just before this verse that we're going to look at, he says, to grow in your faith and your knowledge and your abilities. He just says, keep growing, and he gives a layered, multi-layered ways of growing. And then he says this, verse 12, chapter 1. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory. As long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. What Peter's saying is just as it was true in the Old Testament, that you needed designated times and spaces to stop and collect your soul and remind yourself of who you are, who God is, and where he's leading you. He says even as New Testament believers, that there's something about being reminded of what we know to be true because we forget. So he says, I remind you. I refresh your memory. I'm going to keep reminding you. And so what does it look like in our own lives to have this sense of remembrance? For me, I found that there's several questions that are helpful to kind of cause me to stop, focus backwards, and remind myself of who he is, what he's done. A couple questions, maybe you could write them down. As you look back over the past season of your life, what have you been learning? What have you been learning? What has God been trying to teach you? What are some of the areas that you've experienced growth, change, healing, and so forth? Like, they're questions, but I find the answer is always different. They're questions that I try to work into a discipline in my life and a rhythm of my life for like four times a year, to take a half a morning to a coffee shop or whatever I can, but an extended period of time just to sit before God, to ask these questions, and then give space for him to speak and to reflect and to look. Like, how have I grown? How am I different? How am I different now than a year ago? How have I changed? What has he taught me? What have I learned? How do I respond and act and interact differently? And earlier this week, just in different circles that I was with friends and some of the folks on staff, I just said, hey, I'm going to ask you a question. And I would throw these questions out, like, what have you been learning? What has God been teaching you? How have you grown, or are you different this past season? And different people chimed in. It was a really good conversation. But I invited three people to join me on stage just to give a quick snapshot into their own life. And what is it that you guys have been learning? What's God been teaching you? So Michelle, JJ, and Christy, if you guys would come on up. Yeah. So this is Michelle, whom I affectionately call Michelle. This is JJ, and this is Christy. So, Christy, come closer. Christy works here at the church. Yeah. So worked here full time. How long have you worked here?
A little more than 3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm. And what do you do?
I am the receptionist. I answer your calls.
Yeah. Yeah. So you sit at the front desk, you answer calls, but you do much more than that. So I got to tell you this about Christy, right? So Christy, when people come in for counseling, she gets there, and first thing she does in the morning, she takes like a whole stack of sticky notes, and she writes like 100 Bible verses out. And when people come in for counseling, she's like handing verses out like a bank teller does lollipops to a kid, right? And it's great. So people come in for counseling, right? And sometimes the pastor will come down. The pastor will be like, hi, I'm here to meet with you. And they're like, we're good, we're leaving. We're like, wow, you had an appointment anyway? She's like, yeah, but she gave me a Bible verse. She prayed over me. She laid hands on me. She healed me. She delivered me in Jesus, of course. I'm all good. Thanks so much. And then they'll just leave. It's true. Okay, that may be a little of exaggeration, but this is an exaggeration. She writes down verses, she gives them to them, and she prays over every person that comes in and meets with a pastor. And she's a small group leader. She just loves Jesus, and oh, you're awesome. So we'll come back in a minute. All right, so that's Christy. And then we've got JJ and Michelle Morales. Husband and wife, you guys have been married how many years?
Going on 3 years next week.
I just want to point out it's good that you didn't stutter, and you got that right out very quickly without any apprehension of time. Right. So both of you guys, you're currently on staff full-time. Michelle, for how many years were you on staff here at the church?
Five years? 5 years,
And what did you do while you're on staff?
I was the Edinburgh Children's Pastor. Edinburgh campus.
Yeah. So when we launched Edinburgh, we didn't know what it was going to look like. And it turned out there was like 70-some kids week one.
80.
80. And then a room that's about the size of the stage, like 80 kids. And Michelle, like, had to figure out, how do we make this work? And then like 5 feet away, they're having the adult service. And these kids are loud.
Yeah, that was fun.
And so she single-handedly figured that out and got us moving into that and is now doing other things. But she's very awesome. Yeah. And then JJ, you're on staff as well. And what do you do?
I work with production as a production technician, programming and troubleshooting equipment.
Yeah, if you don't know what that means, neither do I. What that simply means is he's very smart. You know when you buy stuff and you get manuals? Okay, you know when you buy stuff and they get you wood kindling? You can start fires with, but it's got like writings and diagrams. This guy actually reads them, like all of them, like 500 pages, and memorizes them, and then he puts it together. Me, I put it together, and then I'm like, oh, where does this grow? And then I try to look and see. So JJ, Michelle, JJ also has helped figure out the streaming when we stream the message here on the weekend. Worship is live here. Rick or someone will speak here. There's worship live in Edinburgh. And then about 3 out of 4 weeks, there's the message is video sent over there, and so JJ, make sure that happens. All right, so we'll be back. So the question I proposed to these guys this week is, what have you been learning in this past season of your life? What's Jesus been teaching you? And so, what would you say?
What I was sharing with Pastor Gerald is that I have been learning to be a little more aware of God speaking to my life through his Bible, through with people that is very with a lot of wisdom, mm-hmm. and in many, many ways, I feel like God is talking in a very audible, very, very clearly.
Clear way. And you're listening.
Yes.
And it's attentive. Yes. And this season where you've been a little more intentional would be going on for how long?
It's been for the last past 6 months.
6 months. So you've been a lover of Jesus for a while. You follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you read your Bible, you mm-hmm. pray, and you give Bible verses to people when they come. But in the past 6 months, there's been a heightened intentionality and awareness that God may be talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that start, or did something kickstart that, and what did that look like?
Yeah, I feel like it will start when I will start reading this book, Discerning the Voice of God. I was asked to translate it, so I was reading it over and over again, and it was, I have heard mm-hmm. many of the things, but God was speaking very clearly.
So it's a book
clearly.
You're reading?
Yes.
The women did a small group?
We did
on 6 weeks or so.
A woman's Bible
on
study.
Spot.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Super.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
All right. So, Christian, following Jesus, and then Jesus just kind of turned the dial up a little bit and says, listen, pay attention, lean in. I want to speak to you through Scripture and others and my own voice in ways maybe that are fresh in the season. So that's one area. And so you guys, right? About a year ago, JJ started having some stomach troubles, some indigestion problems, didn't know exactly what it was, visited about a bunch of doctors. The first several had no idea what was going on, and then other three thought they knew what was going on, and they gave you this and gave you that and gave you this and gave you that. And then about 3 months ago, you saw yet another doctor, and they said, yeah, I don't know what all those guys didn't see, but you've got cancer. Not a little bit, but a lot. And it's in your insides. So it's not a tumor, it's not a lump, it's cancer. And that was 3 months ago. So didn't see that coming. You're young. Your life has changed. You make frequent trips to MD Anderson for chemo treatment. You just finished your third round of chemo treatment, right? So I'm curious, as I'm sure we all are, what's changed? What ways of thinking about life in the world have been fresh and new, or maybe you heard before, but you're hearing them again for the first time? JJ, why don't you go first?
For me, really just the appreciation of life. Every day I wake up and there's been nights where I wake up in the middle of the night and stare at Michelle, just not knowing if I'm going to wake up again.
Mm. Yeah. It's deep. Michelle, what about you?
What's changed is the intentionality of living in the moment. You know, it's always a cliche, it's always a quote, but when the very thing you love is threatened, you change the way you respond to it. You change your response to life mm-hmm. and to God. Mm-hmm. And so being very intentional with every second that we have together, and intentional with my conversations with God, that he's not scared of anything, and just be very, very intentional.
Yeah, loving life, appreciative of life. My kids, especially my girls, I've got two girls and a son, but the girls are 11 and 13, and they absolutely adore these guys, especially Michelle. Okay. And when we go away out of town, they stay with our kids. And so last week or so, Michelle said, can I take your girls to Houston? And so we got together and she says, we go to Houston for chemo, but we want to go to Houston. We want to have a different kind of memory. We want to have happy memories. We want to have good memories. We want to just explore the city with your little girls, which are like a party waiting to happen. And Michelle's like, a party already started. And so to three of them, it's combustible. And so they just ramped and raved all over Houston and museums and things like that. But this idea of capturing life. Let me maybe put another layer of the questions, and I'd love to hear what you would say. In this, how has God been real to you? Or not real? How has he felt close or distant? Have you been angry or embraced? What's Jesus showing you about himself? How has your relationship with Jesus changed? Or, I don't know, how would you answer some of those questions? As you look back to where you've been rowing, what are some things, ways you've been growing?
For me, I know I've felt him closer than ever. Just even since before the diagnosis, just seeing things change leading up to the point and feeling, knowing that he's giving me the strength every day. Just even now I feel normal. I'm walking around working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. So he's close. It's good.
For me, he's reminding me that he's still good, even in the midst of the fire, even in the midst of the crazy and the things that I cannot control, reminding me that it's going to be okay. And his plan is the best plan, Isaiah 46:10. He always does the right thing. Mm-hmm. And if the right thing doesn't, I don't always agree with it, you know, he's going to help me. Mm-hmm. Row into his path, his straight way.
Yeah, yesterday we were talking, you said something that caught my attention. You said, God is good, even if he doesn't answer my prayer the way I'm asking him to answer my prayer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That he's good.
That's very real, yeah.
Well, thanks for letting us step onto the front porch of your life, and thanks for sharing that with us. But while you're here, what I would love to do, and I would invite you to join me, is I just want to pray for JJ and pray over him and Michelle. And if you're willing, you can stand or you can extend your hand, and then we'll have a few more thoughts before we wrap up. But Jesus, we give thanks for Michelle and JJ Morales. We give thanks for their lives, their marriage. I think of the conversation I had with JJ where he just says, I've been asking myself, is my light shining? Do people around me see the difference I'm making in the world? Am I making a difference in the world, in my life, however short or long it is? I want to affect my world. And God, I pray they would indeed affect their world from the inside out, be it doctors and nurses or caregivers, that they would see. God, I think of the person that came in, the first time they gave, one of the doctors, I heard stories and just said, I've never seen anybody take chemo with a smile like that man. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength, and let the strength of the Lord drive out cancer. Let the strength of the Lord cause it to shrink, shrivel, swell up, and die. God, let life rise up within him. Let his blood cells become strong. Let his immune system be fierce. Let everything, God, be strengthened from his head to his toes, from the inside to the outside, from every foreign matter of growth. May it die and be gone. And may you infuse him with health and strength and life that is perpetual, so that he can give honor to you, so that he can live a life that's full before you, so that he can do everything that you've called him to do. But God, as we row towards you. They row with you, and may you lead them and guide them, and may your kingdom come, your will be done in their lives, in their marriage, in their future on earth as it is in heaven. And everyone said in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. Those are two extremes. On the one hand, everything's great. Not that Christy doesn't have her own challenges, but Jesus just says, I want to speak to you more, honey. Listen. On the other hand, everything changes. And yet it's the same God. And whether if everything is up and to the right or whether everything seems to be down and to the left, God is on a personal quest with each and every one of us. And it's this, that you and I would be shaped into the image of his Son. That tomorrow we will be different than we were yesterday, and a week from now we will be different than we were 2 weeks ago, that he's on a mission to conform us into the image of his Son. Paul put it like this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you won't abandon it, won't abort it, won't leave it, but he who began a good work will carry it on into completion, even to the day of Christ Jesus. And so this is the truth then. You're different than you were. Michelle and JJ are different than they were. But for reasons that are different than are obvious. I mean, it's obvious things are different. But what they just said, what's different, isn't the obvious. Christy's different, but sometimes it's easy to miss. God is at work, and yet very few indeed, take the time to set the stage of their soul to slow down so that things can catch up. To slow down, to reflect, to pause, to pray, so that they can remember who they are. Because often as we become like dualistic, we become separated, our bodies are moving at mock speed and our souls are getting left behind, and something happens in the Sabbath and the rest where we become remembered and we remember. You're different, we're changing, we're growing, and yet just a few quick thoughts on that as we wrap up. Sometimes it's hard to spot because change isn't instantaneous. Sometimes we think, I come to Christ, I say a prayer, and my habits are going to, everything's going to be different. Everything is different, in a sense. You're going to go to heaven when you die. You have been infused with spiritual life. You can hear from heaven, have a relationship with God. And yet, everything's not different. There's this process of change, and change isn't instantaneous. Yakov Smirnov tells about his story when he came to America from Russia, and he's walking through American grocery stores, and he says, I became amazed at all of the instant products your country has. I saw this box, and on the side of the box it said, instant milk. You just add milk, and you just add water, and you have milk. I went a little farther, and there was a little jar, and it had orange, what seemed like sand in it, and it just was instant orange juice. Add a little water, and you have orange juice. Because I went a little further, and I saw this little canister, and it said, baby powder. And I thought, wow. What a country America is. And we think, like, that's how it's going to be with Jesus. And there's things that Jesus, God bless us, he heals us and he delivers us. There's times we get set free and it's dramatic. But other times the change is no less dramatic. It just seems more sporadic. It's hard to spot because it's not instantaneous. But change, maybe to take it another step later, change is often slow and overlooked. Change is often slow and overlooked. And we can ask ourselves, like, am I changing? I've been in groups, and even this week I threw that question out, like, what are you learning? What's Jesus teaching you? And how have you grown? And how are you different? And they're like, can I get back to you next week? You know, it's a lot. I'm like, I know, that's a lot. We don't typically like, hey, how's it going? What's Jesus teaching you today? And how are you different than you were last week? I mean, that's a bit. I understand. Change is often slow. It's hard to spot. A student one time went to his mentor, and he's like, sir, I'm discouraged because I look at my life, I'm the same. I don't know that I'm any different today than I was last year. And the wise mentor looked at him and says, do you see that tree? Last summer, the tree was green. 6 months later now in the fall, it's brilliant red and orange and yellow. And he says, but nobody saw it change. It was green and now it's red, but nobody saw it change. It was slow. It was progressive. And our souls are at times like that. We don't see it ourselves because it's slow and it's progressive. And yet the truth, friends, that I want to remind us of this evening is you're changing. If you're following Jesus intentionally, you're changing, you're growing, you're different. There was a philosopher who was from Ephesus. His name was Heraclitus, and he wrote this in about 500 BC. He says, no man ever steps in the same river twice. No man ever steps in the same river twice, for it's not the same river, and he's not the same man. And it's this idea that this water has this constant flux and flow, and he's not just talking about water. He says, but we're like that. It's not the same river, and I'm not the same man, because I've moved, I've grown, I've transformed. For the better or for the worse, but I'm not the same. And you and I are growing. You and I are changing. You and I are transforming. You and I are in a rowboat of sorts, and we're backing into the future. Now, we can try to row like this, but if you've ever rowed, and you turn around and try to row where you're going, you always veer off to the side you're rowing. You never row straight looking where you're going. It's impossible. It's like rowing a field with a rabbit. The only way to row straight is to back that way, fixing your eyes on something from the past. So I would like us to just to wrap up and throw this out, maybe to challenge you to take some space in the not so distant future, but to wrestle with these questions as you look back over the past season of your life. What have you been learning? What has God been trying to teach you? What are some areas in which you've experienced growth or change or healing? And it's tricky because, like I said, it happens slow. Let me just leave those questions up there if you want to write them down. But there was a monk. He went away for a month on this prayer retreat, and he came back, and he's having granola breakfast and with this older, grumpy monk across from him. And he says, hey, look at you. Gone for a month, swanning around, praying. While we've been here slaving, working, doing your work, and look at you, you don't look any different. And the man who'd been away says, I suppose you're quite right. I don't look any different. But you sure do. And often the first thing that changes, it's our perspective. It's how we see God. It's how we see ourselves. It's how we see what we wrestle with. We see change here before it becomes manifest out here. I remember I was in college and was going through a season, and God just began to stir up like some pain, wounds from my past that I wasn't aware that I was had, was never cognizant of them. And I remember I was meeting with a mentor by the name of Gary in North Carolina, and we're up in his attic where he had a little office, and I'm in tears, and I'm just like, man, I'm a mess, and I'm all messed up, and I didn't know I was so broken. And at the time, I was leading a little college ministry. And I remember saying to Gary, should I step down? Should I quit? Am I disqualified because of my own brokenness? And he says, did any of this transpire in the last 2 weeks? I'm like, no, I don't know, it just surfaced. He goes, so you were like this 2 weeks ago? I'm like, yeah. You were like this 2 months ago? Yeah. You were leading 2 months ago, weren't you? Yeah. He goes, well, you had this then. I'm like, but I'm worse off than I was. He says, you feel worse off than you were, but you're actually much better. You feel more broken, but you're actually more whole than you were 2 months ago when you were preaching, teaching just fine to that little college ministry and you thought you were big stuff, and now you realize you're a broken little pup. You feel broke, but you're actually more whole than you were than you weren't realize you were broke in the first place. Does that make sense? I've talked to parents sometimes, and I've had seasons in my own life. I'm like, I'm so impatient with my kid or my wife, and I'll talk to them. I say, this isn't new, is it? Like, no, I think I've been like this for years. I said, well, here's the difference. A year ago, you were impatient and rude to your kids and your spouse, and you didn't know about it. And now you're impatient and rude, and you know about it. You're better off. A year ago, you're rude and impatient, didn't know about it, and didn't know that you didn't know about it, and didn't care that you didn't know that you didn't know about it. Now you're rude and impatient. You know about it, and you care that you know about it, and you want to do something about it. You feel worse off. You feel more broke, but you're actually more whole. See how that works? If I'd have said to that person or myself in that season, how are you different? I'd be like, I'm jacked up. No, you're not. You're actually growing, but it's hard to see. And so the trick, questions like these at times are tricky because we look for like the big things, but sometimes it's the small things. But God is at work in our lives, in the big and the small, the mundane and the miraculous, the traumatic, the dramatic, and just the routine. But when we stop, and when we pause, we find ourselves backing into what he's called us to be and to do. Would you stand with me? So our challenge over the next maybe several days is to carve out some time. Maybe get a piece of paper or a journal or your phone. But to ask yourself, how am I different? How am I growing? What have I learned? What am I learning? What is God teaching me? What is he trying to teach me? Ask it all those different ways because sometimes one thing will stick and another won't. But the point of it is this. God is at work in our lives. And our role, our responsibility is to set the stage of our soul to be aware of how he's working. And the life that we're rowing and the places that we're going, we'll find ourselves moving into the future, the destiny that he has for us. But it comes as we remember the faithfulness of the present and the day before. So God, our prayer is this, as we find ourselves as a group of men and women, brothers in Jesus, sisters of Jesus followers, that we would back into the future and we would discover the plans that you have for us that are for shalom, they're for good, they're for hope, and they're for a destiny to be fulfilled. The people you've called us to be will not be for groping and grasping, but for backing into what you've called us to be based on the faithfulness of who you are and who you've been. May we row well and may we grow well. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.